Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And so we knew we were going to get a top-notch person when we hired him.
What happened?
Building the connection. What's your
yeah,
what's
same,
new guys?
I had... In the town that I live in, I had some of the new guys over to my house to watch the opening night of March Madness, right? And so you just, that's the fun part about it, is building the connections, right? And even ones that are starting from scratch. And so there's different things that you do. I haven't told anybody this yet, but I want to get a hold of Doc before a game, and maybe bring them over and shoot a little bit with them. They need to know too that I'm the best shooter on the team, on the coaching staff. And so, but that would be something that I kind of want to do. That would be fun. But just things like that. We're going to try to do as many things like that as we possibly can. Very similar to what we did when we first got here. And I think that was something we did. Now, what was different about that when we first got to Philadelphia is none of our families were here. So we were going to dinner on Fridays when we weren't going home to see our families, or we were going to Top Golf, or we were doing bowling, whatever we were doing. And so it's just doing those things again. And it's good because, you want to do those things. And sometimes I think if you're like, if there hasn't been any change, you feel to yourself, well, we don't need to go do this. Well, this is forcing you to go out and do those things again. So, looking forward to a playoff basketball game or something like that that we'll all go to. Doc said we were going to get to the Super Bowl, so maybe we'll go see them in the NBA Finals. That's what I'll say. Went to fill out the staff and get the new defensive coordinator. We went through a lot of different people. Denard was one of those guys that we interviewed, and because he had a lot of good ideas, he's a great football coach. At the end of the day, we both went and we obviously mutually parted ways with Denard getting a good situation and. Not that anything happened. We obviously loved our time with him, and the players feel very strongly about Denard, how good of a football coach he is. I feel how good of a football coach he is. It was just best in that way that we both parted ways there in that situation. But wish him nothing but the best. I won't get into all that, but I mean, yeah, of course, you always want good coaches on your staff, and Denard is a good, really good coach.
Is there something about the profile of a college defensive coach that appealed to you in this coaching search?
I just know that there's good coaches at every level. So I was looking for the best coach, period. What has to happen when you're a position coach, so I always say to the guys, I'm like, hey, There's multiple ways you get guys better. Four really distinct ways you get a guy better. One, opportunity. The opportunities we provide to them in practice with individual, with developmental periods, things like that. Position coaches, you don't have a lot to do with that. That's the schedule that I'm coming up with, and obviously we'll bounce everything off each other, but that's opportunity. Two is the weight room, and the developments and the strides they make in the weight room. Position coaches, you don't got a lot to do with that. You're there to support them and you're there to encourage them, but there's not a ton that you're doing there except for the support. That's the strength staff that we hired. You know, three is the scheme. Obviously, we all contribute to the scheme of everything we're going through to get the scheme. And the position coaches do contribute to that. But the coordinators really have the final say in that, as we know. And then the last one is fundamentals, right? And that's all the position coach. And so the position coach's main job is to be able to be good at fundamentals, be able to add value in the scheme. And so what we were looking for is guys that could be that we're going to get the players better fundamentally, and that's what we felt like we believed that we brought in with some of the new additions.
Jason, back, what's your level of comfortability if Cam were to put the guard? I guess what you're saying is like the leader of the clubhouse.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to get into leader of the clubhouse at this particular point. You know, we'll always see what we can do to play the best five that we have right there. And Cam had a really good year of, you know, sitting behind one of the best players in franchise history, one of the best centers in the history of this game. And we're obviously ecstatic to have Jason back. You know, he does so much for this team as on the field and off the field and leadership roles with his play. Cam just will continue to learn from him. And sure, we'll see what's the best situation for Cam and for the team. But we have a lot of confidence in Cam, and we're excited that, you know, that he can play multiple positions. And so to say leader in the clubhouse at this particular point, we still have a lot of things to go through before we before we have to make any decisions in that matter of fact. So we'll see where we go with him, but excited that he's on our team, and excited that he adds major depth to our team.
How much work did he get at guard during the season last year?
Yeah, a good amount. You know, our guys, Stout does a ton of cross training, and you're trying to cross train those guys, especially the guys that are backups. And so we feel good that, you know, he can play multiple positions. We feel, you know, like Jack Driscoll can play guard, can play tackle. You like that versatility in your guys, and we feel like Cam has that. Yeah, that's a position that's not easily attainable, right? There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, we're just happy we have those two guys, you know, with the talent that they have, and the leadership qualities that they have, and the connection that they have, right? Those two guys are tight. You see them all, you know. I think you see Slay a lot saying how much he appreciates James, and we know James is a little bit more on the quiet side, but I know how much he appreciates Slay as well. So to have those two guys back that have so much ability back there, and then so much a leadership ability also, you know, I think Slay leads, he's got the C on his chest, and he leads, and James leads in a slightly different way by example, and so again, you get their style of play and you also get their leadership, so obviously huge to have them both back.
Hey, Nick, what's the origin story with Brian Johnson? How did he first get on your radar, and what convinced you that he was the right guy
You're just looking for good coaches, no matter where you can find them. I've had a lot of success, with getting guys from the college side, and starting with a guy on the Colts staff when we first got to the Colts. We hired Kevin Petullo, who had just done a stint at Texas A&M, and we wanted that style of the college. We had Tom Manning, who's now back with the Colts as their tight end coach, that was a college teammate of mine, who was offense coordinator at Iowa State. And so we saw the dividends that paid when, you know, we got to Indy with the different style of things that we were able to do with the addition of the things that we've already had done. And so that was a similar philosophy. You know, we were looking for the best coach. You know, as I said to Zach, we were looking for the best coach in that scenario, and Brian was the best coach for the quarterback job. And then, you know, essentially, why do you promote somebody? You promote somebody because you're confident that they can do the job, that they're getting promoted to. And how do you know that? Well, you know that because you're on a two-year interview. I've been on a two-year interview with Brian. And he's just shines every single day. Obviously, Jalen's play is we're a product of the way our players play on the field, and you know his player has played great. And he continues to develop. So, you know, and Brian's just got a really bright offensive mind. You know, we're in there with, you know, when you put together a plan, I know every place is a little different, but when we, the Philadelphia Eagles, come up with a plan, we're all sitting in there coming up with the plan, right? It wasn't, you know, it was me, it was Shane, it was Brian, it's Kevin, it's Jason Michael, it's Aaron Moorhead, it's Jamal Singleton, it's Stout. It's everybody sitting in that room, and you hear the ideas that Brian brings to the table on a consistent basis, and you know you're confident that he's going to be able to go in there and step and do the job. So it's been fun getting to know him these last couple years, and he's just a really good coach, and happy he's on our staff.
Hey, Jake, what kind of player are the Steelers getting with Isaac Seumann and even Nate Irving?
Yeah, obviously Nate wasn't with us last year, but I think the world of both the players. Isaac was a big part of everything that we had done these last, you know, 5 years. I've only been here for two, but Isaac's been awesome. He's you know, going out there and he plays his hardest every day. You know, he's smart, he's tough, he's physical. And, you know, obviously we'll miss him. And I just think Nate adds great value, great depth. He always fits in well with all the guys. The guys really like Nate. And Nate played a lot of valuable minutes for us and a lot of valuable games for us in 2021. And dating back, I can't speak of that. But in 21, he stepped in and did a lot of good things, you know, when we were in a run to get into the playoffs. So I think the world of both those guys as people. I think the world of both those guys as players. I wish them the best. You know, it's tough, you know, when you lose the relationships. But I'm happy for them in the sense that they got a good opportunity. Yeah, of course.
He thought he took a step back this year. I'm curious, when you kind of review the year he had, how do you think he played, and what are some things you think he needs to improve on?
Yeah, you know, we're in a little slightly different of an off season than we've been in the past. You know, with us going so long, and then also hiring new coordinators, we kind of got a late jump, and so we did a little bit different. Usually, I think a lot of people's process is you split the day and you spend the morning in draft or reviewing the film, and you spend the afternoon in draft process or whatever. We spend a lot of we're heavily into the draft. We're still we got time. You know, this last week was our last week kind of evaluating players. Now we'll continue to have to scout different guys that pop up and circle back around. But we'll get into a heavy dose of evaluation coming up here for the next 4 weeks or so before the players get in. A lot of the evaluation of our season is still to come. Quez did a lot of things that really affected the game that don't show up in the stat sheet, right? With how he stretches the field, you know, a lot of the balls that AJ caught over the middle, if you look at the tape, you see Quez running through the middle of the field to pull a safety out of there and to really stretch the field to make sure that the window's open there. And so the opportunity, I would say the difference this year and last year was opportunity. He didn't have as many opportunities, right? And we try to be upfront about that as much as we can and say, hey, this pass game runs through them, and Quez, you're going to have to do this and make, you know, plays when it's time to make plays. And so I think what he was probably frustrated with is that he didn't make the amount of plays that he made last year. He did have some timely plays for us. But sometimes, you know, what happens is when there's a play with everything on the line, you throw it to AJ, you throw it to Dallas, you throw it to Devontae. That's not an indication that we don't trust Quez. It's just an indication that, you know, our pass game runs through those three guys. And so, you know, I know Quez, you know, wanted to make some of the plays that he felt like he didn't. I think also what he's saying there is he's taking ownership and accountability of him getting better, not looking at anybody else. And that's what you want from your team, to everybody to look in the mirror and say, how do I get better? How do I help this team win that last game? We got a long way before we would ever be in that position again. But how do I get better to help our team win one game in this game or that game, or get better in practice? And so Quez is embodying what our team embodies is the accountability piece of how he gets better and only worrying about that and trying to get better for the sake of the team.
How's your safety depth chart look in your eyes, and is Blankenship ready to take a step up in the starting?
Yeah, I think Reed did a nice job last year of playing a lot of meaningful plays and starting games last year, and so no doubt do we have confidence in him. We had confidence in him on a 16-4 team last year to start games, and so you know we have a lot of confidence that he can do the same thing this year. And you know, that was one thing with Reed that you noticed right away is that he was shining when those pads came on in training camp practices, that where you knew that you had to keep him around because he knew he could be really good. You know, Gannon and Denard and
Nick Sirianni live at the owners' meetings out in Phoenix there. A couple things, Hugh, that stood out to me. And 215-592-9494 to hop in, react with us, all the Embiid stuff and all the Sirianni stuff. But I thought it was interesting. He wasn't committed when asked about Cam Jurgens at right guard. He left that open.
No, it's fluid. And that might mean that they're potentially going to get –
Yeah. That's coming.
Miles Sanders is going on the Panthers. What gave you guys confidence to go with Rashad Penny and to add him in the offense? And there's also those rumors about Zeke potentially, you know, being interested in joining you guys. What do you think about that as well, too, that whole situation?
You know, obviously I wish Miles the best, you know, rooting for him. And, you know, it's hard. Anytime you lose a player, you're sad because you lose you lose part of that relationship of seeing him every day. So, but really rooting for him, you know, and his success. We feel really good about the room as it is right now. We love the addition of Rashard and wanted to coach him for a long time. He was playing at San Diego State when I was with the San Diego Chargers. And when it was still San Diego Chargers, so you know, was able to see his career as a college player, and always thought very highly of him and the teams that he was on. And so, you know, excited about that addition. Really excited. You know, we all saw Kenny Gainwell have a really good playoff run, and it seems like every time Kenny's in the game, he makes plays, right? Whether that's in the pass game or whether that's in the running game. Boston being back is huge. I think that's somebody that you always, you know, you always want to have on your team, and really glad we have him, especially because I know how much Shane likes him too. And so I don't know if there was anything going on, but I remember Shane always saying, "Man, I love Boston." We all love Boston, and so he just provides great depth. He did what I was awesome about Boston last year is that, you know, he had the limited opportunities to make plays, but when he did, he made them, and then he found a niche as a kick returner, and I thought that was great. And so, and then Trey Sermon, really excited about him. I can't tell you how many times at practice and Trey didn't get an opportunity to showcase his talents, except for that game against Jacksonville, but I can't tell you how many times at practice he made a cut, or he, you know, you just saw him in his pads, or he made a play on a screen or whatever it was. Or you're like, man, this guy got a chance to be really good. Wish we could get him touches, but it just wasn't we couldn't do it last year. So I'm really excited about that room. You know, really excited about the guys we have in that room. Hey, and I obviously think, you know, you asked me about Zeke Elliott. He's a heck of a player. He's obviously a great, great player that I've had the opportunity to watch from our sideline, you know, four times in the last 2 years, and just think he's a really outstanding player.
Nick, you mentioned the shortened offseason. You mentioned the shortened offseason. Obviously, there's an emotional toll that comes with going to the Super Bowl and not winning that game. How do you navigate that?
I think hey Joey. I think you're obviously disappointed that you got that far. So my brother asked me to text his nephew who was playing in the state championship basketball game last week in the state of New York, and I texted him. I said, "Hey, I've been in regional championship games in basketball while I was in high school. I've been in national championship games as a coach. I've been able to coach in the Super Bowl, and it's always about the journey. Go enjoy this journey, but the journey's a lot more sweet when you win it." And And they actually won. I don't think it had anything to do with my pep talk, but they won, and I was happy for them. But you know, but it was a special journey, and I think when you look back at it, you know, you know it's a special journey. But the other thing that it does is it builds your hunger of, you know, wanting to recapture whatever you can recapture. Again, we won't talk, you know us, we're not going to talk about, hey, like, the Super Bowl, we got to get back to the Super Bowl. You're not going to hear us say that. You're going to hear us say, we got to go attack the next segment of our, you know, of our process, right? And that, which will be the off-season program, which will be OTAs and different things like that. What it does is it just, you know, you get close and it just fuels your hunger of just, what do I, you know, what the steps that you had to take to get there. And then you know that every detail matters, and you're going to go and try to recapture everything you can as far as the work to put in. And so I think that's just what it does. It just makes you more hungry. You know, there's that thing that Jalen talking. He's like, I'm not hungry. I'm starving. You know, you guys all saw that. I'm starving for this shit. All right. And, you know, I think that just makes you more hungry, makes you more starving. And I know that's the sentiment of the guys that we have in that locker room. I know that's the sentiment of the coaches. I sure know it's the sentiment of me, you know, just more determined than ever.
Nick, the numbers dictate that the Super Bowl loser does not get back next year. It's only happened twice the last 28 times. Mm. Why do you think that's the case? And you talk about trying to get the guys' energy and moving forward, but why and how do you do that?
I can't answer. I can't answer that. All I can answer is that, you know, one thing that I always admired about our team last year was, we put together, you know, Howie did a great job of assembling all the guys that we had on that team. Thanks, Bob. And what was very evident was, you know, you heard a lot of people talking about us in the preseason last year, like, oh my gosh, this is a super team. Look at all these guys they have in it. And I remember Jason Kelce very vividly going, I don't care who's on this team. It's going to take the work every single day to get to where we want to get to, right? And that was the message over. And that's why we have great captains and great leaders on this team. That was the message over and over and over. It felt like that's what we were saying after every training camp practice, right? That it doesn't matter who you assemble, right? It's about the work that we have to put in to get ready to play our first game, then our second game, then our third game, and so on and so forth. And I think that we'll bank on that too next year. I don't care what happened last year, right? We don't care that we went this record or played in the Super Bowl or anything like that. We don't give a crap about what the numbers say of who, you know, he was able to get back to the Super Bowl. All we're going to focus on is, hey, here's what the numbers say, right? Here's what we would love to do again, but it's going to take day in, day out work. And I know that's cliche, and I know that, but when you can set your sights narrow as far as here's what we're focusing on today, it helps you stay focused on that day and continuing to build and build and build and build.
I know you can talk football with Jalen, but what have you seen out of him around the facility?
Yeah, that he's still in there working hard, still in there going, you know, lifting and working it like a maniac in the weight room, you know, just getting after it, you know, because again, people have asked me how good can Jalen Hurts be? No one knows what Jalen's ceiling can be, but I know, God willing, he can reach it because of all the factors that he has. So, you know, he's not all of a sudden different because he's still putting in the work like you've seen him put in the work the last, you know, couple years.
We've got time for two more, folks.
Howie's been pretty open about extend.
Two opens?
Yeah. He wants to extend him. He seems pretty confident in what he's done. Will that change any way you approach how you use him, especially in the run game?
No, we'll do, you know, part of what makes Jalen special is everything that he can do. And so, we'll do what we have to do to win football games, no matter what that is. And Jalen, you know, does a lot of things special, and we'll try to showcase all the things that he does special, and we'll try to recap the things that, you know, that we did last year with him, and then try to add some new wrinkles with different things that we do. So it would not, yeah, we'll do what we need to do to win games, and we're we have a special quarterback, and we'll use his special abilities.
Last one, guys.
At backup quarterback, and what information did you get about the way it ended with the Falcons?
Say the first part of the question again, Zach.
What made Mariota the choice for the backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Him,
gosh, I've been.
What did you find out about the way it ended?
Yeah. Gosh, I've been wanting to coach him for a long time. Frank and I went and worked him out in 2014 at Oregon at a private workout, and we just thought the world of him as a person. Obviously, his play spoke for itself, but you know, he's very talented in a lot of different things that he can do. He's played good football in the NFL. You know, I'm not a guy that always says that you have to have the same type of quarterback, and you just want the best quarterback available to be able to go out there and win games. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of things that we can recapture with Marcus being the backup that Jalen brings to. So that's a lot of different things, right? And that could be, you know, Jalen sore, you know, the Giants game this year. He's sore of something, and now you have the ability to bring some of the run game stuff in with Marcus. So that's a positive part of it. Again, I don't think that's the main thing of what you look at for a backup. We're just happy we have Marcus that is a proven starter in this league, and you know, with the ability that he has and the person that he is, and we're excited to have him on this team. You know, we obviously, you know, have, you know, Alex Taney played quarterback with him at Tennessee. They were teammates. They are friends, right? And you know, Jason Michael was his coordinator and also his quarterback coach. So, you know, Kevin Petullo was on that staff in Tennessee also. So there's relationships with Marcus that, you know, again, of course you call everybody around and talk to them about the person, but you have personal relationships that he's stepping into, you know, because he's been out with these guys on staff. And so we were really confident in the person and the work ethic and the person that you were getting and the player that you were getting with Marcus.
All right, guys.
Yeah. All right, great stuff there. Nick Sirianni live at the owners' meetings out in Arizona. Hugh, a lot to react to there with him. I mean, talking about the coaching decisions, right? Denard Wilson not here and hiring Deshaun Desai. The one thing with that was pretty clear. Like, they like Desai because he's going to run a defense that's similar, at least, to Jonathan Gannon.
When I hear that, and I know that probably irks a lot of people mm-hmm. that heard that. When I hear that, I hear terminology, not so much philosophy. Like, there might be some aggressiveness, a little bit more aggressiveness to this defense that might Philadelphia fans might like. I just feel like terminology is the biggest thing, and the way that the certain things are framed to make it easier for the transition from defensive coordinators from one to another, so guys don't have to learn a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of hear it.
Well, you know, you might be spot on with that. The other things that stood out to me: one, he was very high on the running backs they have now. He said he always wanted to coach Penny. Rashad Penny. He said Kenny Gainwell always makes plays, but he did say, I mean, he was very complimentary of Ezekiel Elliott because that situation is not resolved. He's still a free agent, and he could have been noncommittal. Like, yeah, Zeke's been a good player in the NFL. We have a great room here. Like, he used the word outstanding to describe Ezekiel Elliott as a player.
Yeah, you never want to rule anything out, man. And when you listen to these press conferences, everybody else is listening to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to glean what you could potentially be thinking. I mean, he's playing coy. I think you're supposed to say that about a player of Zeke Elliott's caliber, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be an Eagle.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It just it kind of opened my eyes the way he talked about him. The last thing there on Marcus Mariota, kind of interesting. He talked about what he brings to the run game. Obviously, you know, he could play the position more like Jalen Hurst than Gardner Minshew did. But then he said at the end about when Jalen was sore in the Giants game. I imagine he means Week 18, right, the final game of the season. And he said Marcus could have given you some of the run game thing. Like, do we think he meant Marcus would have started the game if he was the backup, or did he mean if Jalen's banged up, I have another guy I could use for certain plays? Well, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I was wondering that too, because it almost seemed like that he was saying, like, yeah, by the time the Giants game rolled around, like, we did not have faith in Gardner Minshew to be able to go out and win it. So, like, if we had a better backup, then Jalen Hurts probably would have sat out that last week. I did find that last cut very interesting.
I didn't read all of that into it, but I get where you're going with all of that. I didn't read all of that.
Oh, I'm reading everything.
But, I mean, I get it. I mean, what I got from that was he wanted a quarterback that was similar to the one that he has so that he doesn't have to change the offense as much and you could be more versatile.
It felt like reading between the lines, like he felt a little handcuffed
with Gardner Minshew because he didn't have the same skill set as Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and that makes sense. A couple of other things. We'll react to it all. 215-592-9494. I mean, one, you got Sirianni working blue there. We got to hit the dump button on that Eagles head coach.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
I don't know. And also,
he's real comfortable.
He is.
Yeah, he's real comfortable.
And maybe we have to ask Howard at 12. Did Howard get out-muscled for a question?
That's too close, Howard.
I mean, I heard Howard try to ask a question there, and then someone jumped over him. What's going on?
Got to throw those bows, Howard.
I mean, what is going on with the king here, Howard Eskin? And then the other thing that I just was kind of laughing at, Hugh, when he was talking about Quez Watkins, and he's trying to defend Quez, who obviously didn't have as good of a season as he did the year before, and he said, well, opportunities weren't there. We got A.J. Brown, and that's all true. But he almost talked about him like he's a decoy. He's like, well, he opened the field for A.J. Brown.
Well, yeah, you know, he's a formidable receiver, and sometimes you are a decoy. You know, when you talk about things like that and it doesn't always go your way and you don't always get the ball like you want to.
Yeah.
But you're still a big part of that offense. And that's a lot of times that, you know, sometimes you don't always show up in the stat sheet. Your contribution doesn't show up in the stat sheet.
Yeah, it doesn't always. 215. Well, go ahead.
Don't you find it funny that whenever like a guy comes up like this that the fans know, like you can't lie to us. We've watched him. We know he stinks. Whenever the compliments come up, about a, you know, say a wide receiver, for example, none of them are actually about what you want a wide receiver to do well. Like,
yeah, it's just about other stuff.
It just reminded me of the, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Oh, he's an enforcer. He's a great blocker. It's like, okay, but can he catch the ball? Can he run routes? Clearly.
Kind of like P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, that's exactly. P.J. Tucker.
The other thing that hits me when he talks about him, because I think he's accurate that, like, okay, his numbers went down because we got A.J. Brown, right? There's less passes to go around. We got a star receiver. That's fine. But you know what I hear when he says that? The only reason he had better numbers the year before is because our wide receiver room absolutely stunk and we had nobody else to throw to. So it's like, you know, what's the truth here, Nick? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. If been on hold, we'll get back to the Embiid stuff, all your reactions. Should he have played last night? And we just heard from Sirianni, but in case you missed it yesterday, what did Howie say about the defense, what it might look like, and maybe a possible hint on another big move to come? Your calls on Embiid, 215-592-9494. That's the phone number here. All your phone calls here. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh,
protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.